24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Welcome everybody to Damage Radio, heard here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music reminds me. You already know me, I'm RC, alongside Matt, the ultimate KISS fan, Porter. And Porter, we not only got a surprise here, but we got singer-songwriter, artist, father, husband, former athlete, making his return to Damage Radio, the one and only Matt Friedman. And he is not alone. He surprised RC. That doesn't happen too often. But we got Matt Dorsey back in the house, guys.
Surprise!
Hello!
Always damage here.
You say Matt today, you got somebody.
Right? The mega powers of professional wrestling is live here in Damage Radio on Monka Radio. Guys, you can't get any better than that, man.
In a steel cage match with two guitars. Right? May the best man take
both. Where's Miss Elizabeth, guys? Oh, man.
Three mats for the price of one.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Matt Attack, right here. Not Zach Attack on Saved by the Bell, but, you know. Thank you.
Damage!
Yeah. So how have you guys been, man? Great seeing you guys.
Good to be here, man. It's been a long time. Yeah. I didn't even realize how long it was. It was too long. It's been
quite some year time. Almost.
Yeah, man. Doing good. You know, kids growing up. We've played a million shows since last time we saw you, and I've seen Matt play twice now. What, in the past month or two?
Yeah,
just with his with his act and his band, and they're crushing it. They're playing in New York tomorrow night and doing all the things. And yeah, man, just trying to do it.
Nice. Well, tell the Damage fans how you guys know each other, because I don't think we ever told that story live.
Hell, don't we know each other?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a long, long story.
Well, we met, I think, playing basketball at LA Fitness, 12 years ago?
Gosh, that's crazy. Know. It's been a long time.
Long time ago.
LA Fitness.
Yeah, that's where the Hoopers went. That's where the Hoopers were.
Just kind of developed, you know, a very competitive streak on the basketball court. Matt's got a really nice mid-range jumper. Really, he's got one of those, like, gorgeous, high-arcing shots. You could call it more like an Andre Iguodala, but, like, comes off a lot smoother. Okay. But anyway, so, you know, we met just playing hoops over a long period of time, and then finally realized that we both had musical backgrounds. He had been playing all over the country, really, you know, in Tennessee and in Southern California, and a bunch of different kinds of acts. And I would, came from kind of this area in the rock world and whatnot. So we finally, after 8 years, decided to get together, in his loft in his home one time, and just like, oh, okay, like, you know, this could work.
Yeah, it was funny because I think it was probably a year or two before we even knew that either one of us played music in general. We just would show up and built a friendship. And then I had a gig at a place in Newtown called Sycamore Grill. It was like a small little pub. And I was like, hey, why don't we come out and just give it a shot? And he got, I don't remember if you were on the Cajon or
I was.
Whatever. Yeah, we had our buddy Josh there. And next thing we know, we're like, yeah, let's try this. And you played drums for a while for me. And then now I'm playing guitar for you. And we just keep trading off here or there and having a good time doing it.
One of these days, it's all going to come together and we'll have, like, you know, the one thing that will stick. I still hope it's the duo acoustic thing that we can go and tour. That's when to me, that is still the most fun, you know, because it's so raw.
And, yeah.
You know,
a completely damaged cover band is what we're going to
do. Dude, I love it.
Well, plus, you can take it anywhere. If you don't need a drummer, like, you could literally set up in the corner out here and we could have a show.
Yeah.
You know, the hardest thing, I think, when you bring in, as soon as you have a drummer, now you got to play over the top of the drummer.
Yep.
Yeah. But now, you figure you two could go out, you could play anywhere. That'd be a blast.
It would be.
And I got the perfect spot already. It just opened up in Horsham called the Patio.
Where's that?
That's right off back in the industrial place where PJ Willinghans is.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new outdoor bar they opened up, and they're looking for artists.
Oh, interesting.
There we go. I know the owner.
There we go.
All right.
Damaged.
There we go. So he you said what kind of jumper he has. What about what kind of jumper does Matt Friedman have?
So he's got calves of steel. He's like, you know, the guy's like
of steel?
Of steel. Oh, wow. Yeah, he has a subtle quickness to him that is typically hard to guard. He's got a good shot on him as well. And he'll hit you with that no-look pass every once in a while. That'll that make is you true. Say, like, oh, hey, okay, it's
coming Same hot. Speed as 20 years ago, or was it a little slower?
Well, I think Father Time's hit both of us at some point for a
little bit. Yeah, he's just about knocked me out. I mean, there's no doubt. Yeah.
But I'd say, like, when we play together, we got a pretty good squad. I'd say
we do.
You know, I'll set up for the three-point shots, Matt will dish and take to the rook.
I'm a pass-first point guard is okay. kind of my thing. You know, unselfish, setting people up. Yeah. Nice. Kind of stay out of the way. I'll take those mid ranges when I have to. I like to get to the rack. I like to board, and I like to guard people. Matt's all finesse. He's very much like a Dirk Nowitzki kind type, like a prototype.
Right.
I love all these comparisons because it's not anywhere close to Andre Iguodala and, you know.
The fans are like, I'll listening take right hey, now. Listen, like, what I'll LA I'll take is? I got to go to this LA Fitness to do this live.
Yeah, you got to be careful, though, because if you follow Extreme at all, you know the band Extreme?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right before, like, their M3 show, Nuno was playing pickup basketball, blew his knee out. So it's like they had to cancel because of that. So you guys got to be careful.
All right.
You always watch those fingers the day before show.
Damn it, right. And that was his knee. So. Yeah.
Well, that brings up a great segment. You encounter many challenges, you know, to where you got to today. One being the knee injury that halted your football dreams, and second, the pandemic. For both of you guys, how did you both stay grounded during all these challenges?
To be honest with you, early pandemic, I don't know that I did. I was a mess, man. I was not taking care of myself. You know, eating terribly just because nothing was open. You couldn't do anything. No one knew what to do. It was uncertain. It was scary. Everyone's jobs were halted. We couldn't play music. You couldn't do anything, as everyone knows. But I don't know. I think you just kind of adapted to it. The toughest thing for me, honestly, and I know for him too, was having kids, young kids at that, during that time was really difficult just because you were moving them into the home. You were trying to work from home. They weren't getting the education and like the social outlet that they needed. Neither were the adults. And it was just, you know, it was like 2 years went by and you didn't progress as, you know, you didn't evolve as a human at all.
Right.
You know, so it was just time stood still for a while. It was weird, but I don't know. That was my experience.
You know, what's funny is actually, I think you were one of the first guests that we actually had back when we started coming back.
Is that right?
It wasn't that many, like it was probably right around this time. About a year ago, where we were just creeping back in, we could be live, you know. So that's probably about the last time you were here. Was we were just inching back into the studio.
Yeah.
It's a weird time frame. Like when you said, like 2 years. When you think about the 2 years of COVID, and then you go, okay, we're out of it. And you go, it seems like a weird dream. Like
it does.
You know, like and especially what you were saying, everybody was hit by it. Everybody was stuck at home. There wasn't anybody who, hey, I'm having a great time. It was like,
yeah, it was very odd, man. It was like a weird long snow day that no one had the answers to. You couldn't. Yeah. For me, honestly, it was like I was looking for someone to blame the whole thing on, just to be like, man, like, can we all unify and, like, you know, call it what it is, but just be like, man, like, why'd you do that? You know, and there was no one in sight that you could even point a finger at to attribute the whole thing to. So I don't know. It was just.
And you have people going back and forth, like some like not listening and following their own directions, and other people following their real directions that are hearing, and you weren't getting anywhere, and it just felt like very,
very odd, man. I can definitely tell you though, I would not be doing a lot of what I'm doing right now musically if it had not been for that. 100%. It forced a lot of people because we couldn't play, and you know it knocked us out for quite a while, and. It forced you to just kind of, the only thing you could do creatively in the music industry was write. So it forced you to do a million co-writes and just flex that muscle. And I think both of us stockpiled, you know, a million songs that by the time it was over and you could get back in the studio again, you're like, all right, I got 60 songs. What am I going to do with them? I either have to record them and start playing again, or I'm going to go crazy and, you know, I'm not going to survive this. So that, I think for a lot of people, you had a ton of music that came out over the past 2 years from that stockpile of, you know, and that big release that everyone had last year. But I don't know.
Did you write a song about the COVID?
Yeah, the COVID song. Yeah. I remember, I think I actually enjoyed a section of that because, you know, I had people like Chris Martin from Coldplay. I remember just, you know, once artists could figure out how to do it virtual or do it to be able to stream it live, some of it was just incredible to see some of your favorite artists just sitting at their home on a piano playing, you know, three or four songs. I mean, it, and I, you know, same here. I you know, Matt and I, they both wrote a lot of songs at that time, but the inspiration watching other artists as they were going through that probably fueled you and I both, I'd say, at some point with some of that stuff. It was, you know, so, I mean, not, it wasn't great, but there were small hidden blessings behind it, I think, that worked out for some people. And I think as artists, I think everybody's finally glad that we can check the box, move forward, we can get out and play shows. And I think when we opened for Miranda Lambert, that was one of the big open shows that we had live. And
that was one of the first.
It was just like, I think all of us are so cathartic for all of us. Yeah. We're like, oh, God, it just feels good to be on stage again.
You know? Yeah.
How was that opening up for like you know, Brett Young, Miranda Lambert? Like, are they like down to earth people that can talk to you, or did they actually listen and give you guys, you know?
We had zero interaction with them.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
So, story gets less cool at that point, I guess.
Right? So I still retain that they were really, really cool because we didn't get to meet them at all. Yeah. You know, they didn't have an opportunity to tell me otherwise. But that particular day, it was incredible for us just as a new band at that point to spend that time, have that experience. And half of our band are also solo artists. So everyone gets to now kind of say, like, you know, yeah, I opened for these people. I was part of that experience. I went through that. I saw what it can happen if you keep pushing and get to that level. So, you know, we took a lot out of it, especially, you know, you, me, Ray, and some others. But
yeah, it's fun. I remember at that time because, you know, he and I would get together and we'd start trying to write. And I think our backgrounds have uniquely different experiences. I mean, I played in a reggae hip-hop band and no one would ever think that. I mean, Matt was in like a... Yeah, maybe what
I was a pop punk and emo drummer,
so with the mohawk.
But it had always had a passion for country, and I, you know, I'm from Tennessee originally, and I didn't play a lot of country, but it's been, you know, kind of in my family. And so I think as he was writing all these songs, we were just, you know, everyone he would send me here there, I'm like, man, that's actually, it's got some legs. I think that's got an opportunity to do really well, and it's just been, I've been so happy to watch his success over this last couple of years, because it's been a fun journey, and I've been happy to be a part of some of it.
Sure. Thanks. So, yeah. And likewise, man, you know what's cool is I think our writing styles too, we're very different. And the thing that I've always admired about Matt is that he's so good at creating these worlds with his music. And I've said this since day one, like even with your first EP, you can tell when music is embedded in someone's DNA just based on, like, if you can pick up a guitar and tell me a story and make it and bring me in instantly, you know, you can tell that person was placed here on this planet to do that thing. And Matt does that not only with playing acoustically, he just is captivating just with him and a guitar by himself. And I mean this wholeheartedly, but especially when in the studio, what's really cool about his music is that regardless of where you're at in your life, what you're doing that day, like the world stops when you're listening to his music and it pulls you in and there's no escaping it. Like you have to see it through and listen to that entire piece of music. And that's across the board, regardless of what style or what song, that I don't have that. Like that for me is something that I've always admired about your music. That's different to your point, you know, where I'm more like lyric. I want to nail the story, like hyper-focused on telling that story in a very formatted box that's almost the same every time, because that's kind of what country is. But I think, like, there's a song even that we wrote together that we may or may not play for you today. But that was like, it was funny because we wrote it in a hotel room in Nashville, just kind of sitting there on two acoustic guitars, and the way that he plays it live with his band is different than the way that I arranged it for the studio session players to record. So it's just cool to, like, see the difference of the same song, two different guys, and two different outcomes. But
I think we both have aspirations of taking things from each other. I mean, you know, he does something that I can bring an audience in that aspect, I think, like you were talking about. But I typically can't write the way that he does to generate to a specific audience. So, like, if you're talking about a veteran that's, you know, coming out of the war that's just, you know, trying to figure out their life, he's got a story for that. Or if it's, you know, if it's a single mom, or if it's, you know, a boy with two kids playing sports, or it's their, like, he has a way of connecting lyrically to the audience in a way that, you know, most people have not ever been able to see somebody do that like that. And I think that's why the success is there. And it's fun to watch it. And, you know, when you get into storytelling, et cetera, it's fun to watch him on stage if it's just him and a guitar and he can kind of give you the backdrop of a story, or Free Fall is about his daughters. Like, it's just... It's cool. I think it's probably scary to get in both of our brains if we went too deep, right? There's a lot of other stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. But you know, that'd be interesting to go into. And it's one thing I love talking to creative people is describe your songwriting process. I mean, it sounds like you come from maybe different ideas, but obviously you're winding up with a song that people can relate to. So talk about where do you get the idea? How do you translate it? And how do you bring it into life?
I don't know. I would say for me, my paintbrush is the story and not missing a detail where I don't have I try to fill in the gaps and be as honest and like ruthlessly honest about experiences that I've had or something that character in that story would be going to down to the finite detail and making sure that every single thing at the end of that hook, you're bringing back something that you called upon or mentioned in the first verse. You know, I'm competitive about that. So that's kind of my process. I'll have a melody or something, an idea, a concept, and then I'll try to wrap that around the best version of that story that I can tell. But
we'll come back to that.
Damage Radio, who's on the line?
Hey, this is Chris calling in.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. This question may have already been asked, but I had a question from Matt about just about his singles coming out. Been loving them, and I was curious if he had plans for a full length.
Which Matt or both?
Or all three? All three. Everybody in here is named Matt except for RC. Yeah,
I'll be Matt too.
What's up, Chris? Nice to meet you, man. Thank you for the call. So I have a single coming out on Friday called Country Club that we wrote about a bartender in Doylestown, actually, who I was over there. It's a bar called Chambers 19, if you know the area well. And John, the guy who we wrote the song about, actually now owns the bar, which is pretty cool. So the story goes, I was in there one day. It was actually right after things opened up during COVID. Just kind of, you know, it was one of those days. No one really figured out the world yet. He was one of the first bars to kind of reopen. And we were just kind of in one of those modes where we were just happy to be out and doing anything, like let alone sharing a drink and a bite to eat. And he made this comment to me, you know, as a bartender who just had opened up his bar for the first time in 18 months. And it was something to the effect of, you know, you don't really need a reason to come in here and celebrate if you're in working at a bar that you really like, you know? And I was like, damn, like, let's write that song. You know, you don't need a reason to celebrate every day. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So that's now the hook of Country Club, and we'll play that for you. But, you know, so that's coming out on Friday. And, yes, thank you for asking. Full-length EP is coming out middle to late June to follow that up. So,
awesome. That's excellent. Do you have a title for it yet?
I do, and I'll leak this. You're the first one to ask, so this is breaking news.
Exclusive on Damage.
Hey, Damaged.
The EP is called Ready, Fire, Aim, and there'll be 7 songs on it, including Country Club, and there'll be a couple new release tracks that have not previously been singles. So,
that's awesome. Heck yeah, that's great.
Sweet, man.
Thanks for the call. Yeah. Great question.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris, thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I also just want to say I'm in a band, too. We've been doing the singles as well, and I know it's, like, impossible to, like, try to get traction online, especially on like Spotify, and I know some of yours have been so well received with tons of listens, and I know that that's just such a struggle. So, you know, we're playing this weekend in Pottstown, actually.
Oh, cool.
So I haven't played a show in Pottstown in a long time, but I know the music scene there is pretty cool.
We're in Pottstown.
It's at this place called The Rivet.
Rivet is excellent. Great venue.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it's right on High Street. No,
I've never been there before, but I hear awesome things, so I'm pretty pumped about it.
They have good beer. It's a nice room.
Yeah, the pictures look fantastic of it there. I'm pretty pumped about it and pumped for the music that you're playing. And just want to say best of luck with everything. And, you know, if you're in town Saturday, come check it out, the music.
Cool.
I'd love to, man. Thank you. What's the name of your band?
It's Sleep Cycles.
I like it. What kind of music do y'all play?
It's like alternative rock music. It's like a mix of sort of punk and sort of uplifting rock alternative stuff. It's pretty cool. It's kind of all over the place, though, but it's fun.
Love it, man.
Nice. So now there's a place right next to the Rivet called The Alley, and there's a cheesesteak, you know, food truck. Pretty amazing. That's what I think of.
Do you recommend a cheesesteak from there?
DZ's Cheesesteak. It's a truck. And I'll tell you, yes, I recommend it. And yes, I'll probably come down and get one.
Yep. And I know the owner of The Alley. So tell Anthony that Damage sent you.
Damage.
Nice.
So awesome. Throw your social media link out there so people can follow your band, man, and check it out.
Yeah, it's just Sleep Cycles PA on all the social media. We just put a song out actually last Friday. But we're doing the whole singles game right now, and we're hoping also to get an EP out later this year, hopefully. So,
heck yeah, man!
Awesome, man. Good work, bud. Keep up the great work, man, and maybe we'll get you up here at Damage one day.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be sick. That'd be awesome.
Right, thanks, Chris.
Man. Thanks, Chris. Care, appreciate it, man.
See ya. Now, look, Ready, Fire, Aim.
Yep.
Outstanding. That's, you got to awesome. Kind of dig into that. Where does that come from?
Thank you. Kind of the obvious that we've already talked about a little bit is that I've never felt ready to do any of these things. You know, I've always felt like I had a stockpile of songs, didn't really have a whole idea. I didn't have goals. I didn't set out to do any particular thing. I was playing drums for him. It was more just like, I just want to write the best songs that I can and put them out and see what happens. So I never feel like I had this tidied up plan to execute on, and it just all kind of was ramshot. And then the next thing you know, we're on a stage opening for some of the biggest acts in the industry, and it just kind of all snowballed from there. I didn't feel prepared for that moment, so it was literally like, you know, you have no target. There's nothing you're trying to hit. You're just like, all right, it's not a ready, aim, fire kind of moment where you're like, you know, prepared. Just like, ready, shoot, and then we'll, you know, figure out if we're hitting the target.
That's afterwards. Great.
That's awesome.
That's really great.
So, awesome. So I think we should hear some live music.
I'm love ready that. For it. You guys feeling it?
I don't think we've done this live together before.
We haven't.
For everybody out there that's listening, these two sat down with instantly jive with one another. It sounded great just sitting here, so this is going to be fun. Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. Why don't we go nights like this? I'm going to follow you.
But you just talked about the country club
story. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
We got time.
It's a tease.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Yeah, we want all these listeners to hang on until the end of the episode.
Song, you got
to
stay, you know.
You got to stay tuned.
I'll tee this up for Matt. This is, he and I were down, I forget when it was, November, October-ish of last year?
Yeah, it was back when I was finishing my last album, Frozen in Amber, and he was working on a couple tracks, and yeah, I think we're just in the hotel and started writing, and
we had a mutual friend of ours that we met playing basketball, named Kyle Heminger, and he had asked us to play at his wedding, and the wedding was coming up. It was about a month out from when we were both in Nashville together, and we were both doing some recording, and we were tracking this, you know, a couple other songs, and we sat in the hotel room. We're like, why don't we write something, just because we're going to be playing at this wedding anyway? Why don't we do like a first dance kind of song? So we just started kind of picking on some stuff, and then I had this melody in my head and this idea of, you know, like, if nights like this is supposed to be the best night of their life, right? Mm-hmm. And if nights like this don't come along again, like, what are we going to do to solidify that this was the best night of our life kind of deal? So we wrote this song called Nights Like This, and Matt sings it a hell of a lot better than I do, so I'm going to let him take the lead on it.
It's funny, too, because we you know, this is one that he and I at some point will release, hopefully together, is kind of the goal. And I've, you know, I had the Newtown Theater show, and then I had a headline over at the Sellersville Theater a couple weeks ago, and we tried this live with the band. So it's kind of taken, there's been some minor directions of this song that's evolved, but we're going to keep it back to the way that I think, you know, Matt and I wrote it. And
far out, man. We'll I'll follow you. Yeah. I haven't played it since we wrote it in that room. All right, so let's go.
Here we go.
We were together most of our lives, as close to forever as two hearts can find. Babe, we had something something like Hollywood ending. They got better in time. And if nights like this won't come along again, I want a long, slow kiss melt to summer wind. I want to know that we had it all on nights like this. Wasn't always easy, and we kissed through the pain. We laughed at the fire, and we danced in the rain. And babe, you were the reason for fire. And the one we had was one moment in time. And oh, if nights like this won't come along again, I want a long, slow kiss melt to summer wind. I want to know that we had it all on nights like this. Through the storms that come in and out, the walls that keep falling down, it is you and be till the end of time. I will wait for you like I always do. Love to find for me and you. Love that always brings us back again on nights like this. Nights like this won't come along again. And I want a long, slow kiss melt to summer wind. And I want to know that we had it all on nights like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. Dude, awesome.
That was fantastic. Now, the funny thing, now we think about it, that will be people's wedding song.
Yeah.
And don't you love the fact that the idea that you would have at, in sitting in a hotel room, somebody, that's going to be their song. That's beautiful. And it sounded fantastic.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate that, man.
Thanks. Yeah. I think it was cool. You know, he does a lot more co-writing than I do, especially with a lot of the country artists and stuff, which is really cool. I don't do a lot of it. I'm typically more internal and write it myself. And I think what was really cool with that song was, you know, we had kind of been fun with the guitar melody a little bit and then kind of got that little hook line. And then I came up with some lyrics on the verse. And then he would come up with, it was just this cool, like, bouncing back and forth that by the time we were done with it, we're like, I don't know. I think it could be like, you know, like.
I'll show you my goosebumps. Yeah. I was like, yeah. You know, because it painted such a picture that right away you think about it. And it's funny how you set it up with the idea, like at a wedding, it's the best night of your life kind of thing.
Yeah.
You captured that like in a way that, and it's, your voice is fantastic.
Oh, thanks, man.
Really, that was so good, incredible. Isn't he? Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
He's our show pony, man.
Like, I picture myself dancing, like, you know, right. And like in that room.
Yeah.
You felt like you're by yourself in the room dancing with your lover, and it's like
outstanding.
I appreciate that, guy. That's literally what we were trying to.
And just so you don't get in trouble, it was JD, not Kyle.
Oh my gosh, it was JD's wedding, not Kyle. Oh crap! I know both both of them are listening. So.
Yeah, if they're listed, I just wanted to save you that.
Oh, man. You're right about that.
But they're the same. They're brothers, so it's fine.
I joke. I kid.
You know what? That's fun, kind of circling back to what we talked about, your writing process, things like that. You were there for a wedding, so you're putting yourself in that mood, like, you know, which I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
We had an hour to kill, which is, when we do Nashville trips, is rare. Like, usually we're scheduled every, 15-minute block of the time that we're there, but we kind of, like, purposely hung back and said, like, let's chill out for a little while, you know?
Yeah.
And we purposely stayed in the room and said, like, you had your recording rig, I think, and we were just listening to demos and just throwing ideas out there. And I was like, man, you know, we got this wedding coming up. Let's see if we can throw something around that. And it's funny for like.
So somebody out there is going to get that to be their wedding song for the first time. That's going to be something else, right?
The problem is we got to actually record it first.
That is true.
So this might be one of the only recordings of it. So all your fans just got an exclusive. That's pretty outstanding.
Damage. You guys are giving us everything.
Right.
Love it.
Look, fans of Matt and Matt.
Matt and Matt.
Yeah. You got a treat right there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And Matt times two. Matt times three. Yeah. Yeah. And then me on the side.
I don't have a single coming out, so it's.
But you know where the best cheesesteak is in Pottstown.
Yes, so. And that counts, and, too. That counts, too.
That counts as a lot.
It does.
Yeah, that Rivet that he shouted out that their show is, that if you can get a chance to play there, it's a really nice venue.
Yeah.
David Ivory, who runs a lot of the stuff here, he's programmed shows up there.
Okay.
And the nice thing is 5 minutes from my house, so it's a bonus.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Very nice.
So you mentioned the Sellersville, doing it with Ray. Talk about that. How was that?
It was great. You know, that, I don't know, I just gravitate so much towards these theater settings. I think Matt was alluding to, I that's kind of my audience. I enjoy that kind of quiet where you can hear a pin drop and people are there kind of really listening to the intricacies of what you're kind of creating. The theater's beautiful. We had a great night. It was cool to see the evolution, I think, of the band too, because I think when I was with you guys the last time, we had just played the Newtown Theater and it was a lot. Like, I think my mom called in and made this the most wholesome show you've ever had, or whatever. And so it was this whole experience where the Newtown Theater happened so fast. I didn't get a chance to really enjoy that as much because it was just kind of chaotic, to be honest. And having the band really just kind of dial in and have everybody set, it was great. And Ray was just, her band is just crushing it. They sounded amazing opening up. They ended up opening up for us, and it was great. And I don't get to do it here, but I do play a lot of lead electric stuff, and I get to kind of get that thing out of my system with my buddy Dre and I. We are shredding guitar solos up on stage, and I get to enjoy that part of it. But, just to have the appreciation there, and I think that song I played for you guys last time, Bury My Bones, I had written that song about that experience at a theater of just sometimes you feel alone as a singer-songwriter and no one shows up, and it happened early on in my music career, but it was something that, regardless if one person or it's 50, you're doing what you love and you're getting your message out to someone, and it's just more of an appreciation for that type of event. So it was great. Matt actually came and supported us up there.
Front row.
I was going to get him up there and just trade out the drummer, but I didn't want to make Kevin too mad.
Anytime you're playing Sellersville Theater, come in and do this show to promote because you figure that's our backyard. Yeah. And that is a fantastic theater. That was the movie theater when we were growing up.
Yeah.
It was a single screen theater a billion years ago when dinosaurs still walked the earth and I lived in Perkasie. That's where we would go. I went there a million times. That was that. And then probably about 10 years ago, they renovated to that theater that you were in. Amazing place for shows.
It is.
Really great.
Sound quality is great. And I think Matt, the full band with The Herd, is playing there at the end of the year, right?
I think December. I'm not quite sure what that date is off the top of my head.
But, all right, so put a December hold on to come back and promote.
Already done.
Maybe we can do a ticket giveaway or something, right? And we'll do something fun.
I do hope to have another album out. As of right now, we're shooting for Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. So
awesome.
Hopefully it'll be that and the Sellersville show.
There we go.
Dynamite.
Yeah, man.
Now, is there a certain type of feel, better than when you perform at home in PA compared to, other places? Do you get a little more psyched up and does it hit home?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different. Matt grew up here, so, there's family and a great support system and a lot of people that just are just passionate and they love his music. I think for me, it's a little bit different. I've got a good community, and I think I've built up something decent, but I still don't have that core group of growing up here, right? So I think, you know, for me, I mean, I probably get more joy going home and playing in Nashville or Tennessee just because it's that's where my family is. It's where I spent most of my life. But, you know, it doesn't take away from the experience and how people come up to you afterwards. And they're just like genuinely thankful and they appreciated it. And that's why I love this part of Pennsylvania, because there's a lot of really good, caring people here that appreciate what you're doing. It's just getting them to the seats. That's always the hardest part.
Well, and like you talked about earlier with the COVID, I mean, people are creeping out a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, I think even just seeing things the way things are working here is that, you know, almost like, well, people are kind of coming back, and you figure we're about a year out of it. But that's got to be still a challenge, because like people are used to not going out. They want to see if you're going to live stream it, or does somebody have their phone up or whatever. And it's like, I think we're hopefully this summer is where we really turn the corner and people are going to be like, all right, let's open, you know, the floodgates on going out.
Yeah.
Definitely,
for sure.
Now, you both got two big shows coming up. Matt, you got a big show in New York and this Saturday in Doylestown, YMCA. I think it's Car for Cancer, right? It's a festival?
They do a series, so they do a couple things every year. I think this one is a Car for Cancer series event. I think this one's called like Skate and something else, but there's a bunch of bands going on Saturday.
Yeah. So what do they do? They do it's all for cancer, don't they?
Yeah, it's a benefit. I think they do one at Montage Mountain up in the Poconos, like every January, February, just a big fundraiser. And then they do this one in Doylestown, which is relatively new, I think, the first year they're doing it. So
nice.
Yeah, man.
What's the name of the venue? Yeah. Where is it?
The Doylestown YMCA. They're just doing like an outdoor like pavilion kind of a thing.
So people can search out. What's the official name?
Doylestown YMCA Car for Cancer.
Yeah, it's I should know this off the top of my head. Look up Car for Cancer Doylestown YMCA.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so everybody out there within the sound of our voices needs to go on Saturday.
Exactly. Of course. And then if you're in New York, make sure you go check out Matt Dorsey tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll be at the Rockwood Hall Music Theater there. I'm excited. It's a late slot. And for someone like myself with two kids and a day job at times, I'm going to have to take about 10 naps prior to this gig. But I'm looking forward to it. I love New York City. Ray's actually going to be up there, and her band has actually got a slot, I think, as well. They're going to be playing. So really excited. And, I got, you know, the band is kind of locked in and ready to go. So we're going to just feel free, let it rip and see what happens. So if you're around, come out.
You guys are dangerous when that happens too.
Watch out.
I unfortunately was sitting front row, during him and Dre's, guitar antics going back and forth. That's a journey, man. Your shows you made us laugh, you made us cry. I mean, there were a lot of those goosebump moments, but specifically between you and Dre, when you guys get into your thing, man, you two have a special connection.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, quite honestly, it really just all starts with Matt. I mean, I think as we first got this thing going and it just went wildfire with, you know, I think since the Miranda show and then Matt's singles and albums and all the shows, it's been phenomenal. But in that process has brought Ray, it's brought me, it's brought this connection of a group of people that are not only just phenomenal musicians, but they're like really good people and like fun to be around. And you know, you enjoy what you're doing. And Matt can attest. I mean, we've been in bands and there's egos and pride and all kinds of weird stuff that goes on. And when you can surround yourself by people that are making you better collectively, that part's been awesome. And I think it's all started with Matt. I mean, he's been kind of the pivot point of kind of connecting the groups together. He's like, he should make his own matchmaker app or something.
That's
you know?
A whole
like,
job right just, there, connecting people. Yeah. You know, it's funny. At the start, you mentioned the two of you would love to go out and do this acoustic duo, but now you're playing electric. Which do you prefer? Now, this was a treat for us to be live in here. I feel like that was amazing what you guys just did. But when you're out, which do you prefer? The more stripped down, the electric? What's your favorite way to present?
I'll let you go first and answer. Uh-oh. I think I'm not even sure what your answer is going to be, so I'm curious to hear.
I'm going
to
piggyback off that one.
that's actually a pretty tough question. I think it just depends on if I'm singing and playing at the same time. So if I'm singing and playing at the same time, I love just like I said, acoustic guitar, writing, playing, singing, songwriting. I thoroughly love that. But there's nothing better than when you're on stage, you got the lights, you got everybody in the audience. The light just kind of comes down on you and you get to just, for me, it's hard. Cause like a lot of times I'm not writing specific hooks as well as Matt does. I can do all this by ear and feel,
So when I have an electric guitar in my hand, every night's different and every solo is different. And I enjoy the space to be able to do that and not have it sound completely terrible where I'm getting tomatoes thrown at me, I guess, right? So I'd probably lean electric, maybe, I guess.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm the complete.
That's not opposite. A fair question, Matt. That's kind of like.
Well, you know, it's funny because in some ways, and I think the difference is when you're sitting with just your acoustic, you can maybe hear the people out front. When you got that electric, man, there's nothing. It's just right there.
Yep.
And it's loud. And usually that one chord that says, I'm here. Yeah. You're going to listen.
And you can't hide from it. Once that thing's out there, you're out there.
And what's funny, too, is he has a tendency to bring every one of the guitars that he owns and puts them all on stage. Yeah. And just for the effect. But I think you actually used, if not all of them, most of them.
Yeah, I did, but I will not be doing that going forward. Between connecting cables and different tunings, and I'm writing a lot of stuff in weird tunings, and it's just complicating my life. I need to streamline it.
Which is your go-to guitar? You got a bunch of them?
I think Matt and I both have a problem with probably that.
there's a 5K that I'm doing Sunday morning for Guitar Addicts Anonymous. Nice. Nice. I'm hoping to break my record. I go to meetings every so often. Exactly.
I have this beautiful Gibson 335. It's like it's kind of a blueberry color, and it's not as big as like a 335, but not as small as a Les Paul and heavy. It's just kind of this little sweet spot in between, and got a great tone. And I'd say that's probably my big one I'm playing live these days. Probably.
My problem is I haven't met my favorite yet, so I keep trying and buying them until I find it. And,
Especially if you go down to Nashville, there's so many of those vintage stores where you can go really broke really quick.
That's my weakness is old vintage Gibsons for me are a serious problem. That's my mistress in life. Sorry, babe, if you're listening, but it's true.
She still loves you. I know. Okay.
It's funny how you said about the guitars lining up on the stage because I got a chance to go see Newfound Glory Acoustic live at the Keswick.
Oh, nice. How was that?
Oh, it's amazing. I felt like they said, I feel like we're doing a high school show for Rock of the Bands. Yeah. You know, they do the acoustic, but then they all of a sudden start rocking out because, like, you know, but like you're so tight in the theater. Yeah. But just seeing them live and doing acoustic and doing it for their bassist, Chad, who's out right now with cancer.
Oh,
they're saving
man.
Up money for him and doing this whole tour to raise money and raise awareness from what he has. And it was cool to have all the guitars lined up and just, you know, hearing that, you know, we feel like we're in a high school auditorium, Rock of the Bands, like just. Brought back memories of high school and rocking the bands and all that stuff.
It was funny at the Sellersville show. It got to, I think we were like seven or eight songs in, and there was one I hadn't played yet, and I heard there were people like screaming outside. They're like, "You haven't played the purple one yet. Come on,
you know, you got like, one more. You got one more." So can we hear another live song here live on Damage Radio?
Well, this is Matt's big show. This song he's got coming out is just I'm a big fan.
We got time for a couple. Let's whatever you'd like to do.
All right, let's do that one. This is we'll do the song Country Club that I was just talking about that comes out on Friday. We were supposed to play a festival at Warwick Farm Brewing about a month ago, and it got rained out. It was that one weekend maybe a month ago that was just treacherous. So I texted John, the guy who I wrote about in the song, and just said, like, hey, we have four bands and like a full slate that was supposed to play an outdoor festival. Do you mind if we just pack your place? And he was like, like, how much money do you guys want? Like, I can't afford all that. Yeah. And I'm like, listen, just don't worry about all that. Just say yes, and we'll figure that out later. So we had us and another local band who's been legendary for 30 years called Wineskin, who Dustin, my other guitar player, is their drummer.
They were just here last week, by the way. They played in the TV theater for a final for Mike Leitke. Yeah,
that's right.
So like literally right next door.
So funny story. So Dustin, their drummer, plays guitar. We do a lot of acoustic shows just as a duo. And we were out touring, lived on a tour bus for 3 nights with a guy. So Dustin wasn't here because he was with me that night. We were in Fredericksburg, Virginia, doing a leg of a tour. But so we packed this place, Chambers 19, just a hot, you know, rainy, sweaty day, and just had a lot of fun. But we debuted this song for John, and had everyone like put their cell phone, you know, cameras up, and we just got some really cool like footage of that. But so might as well give it a rip. I don't know if you remember this one or not.
I remember enough of it.
It's the only three chords I know. It's E, A, and then that one. I don't know what that is, but it's that.
I got you. We'll all be right. Okay.
So this song is called Country Club. Comes out on Friday in all streaming platforms. So here we go.
I was checking in on an old barkeep friend I ain't seen in a while. I was asking him about his wife and kids. He cracked a beer and a smile. I said, John, what keeps you so alive? Working that job for pay. He said, son, you don't need a reason to celebrate every day. So we'll raise a little glass, zip a little wine, say a little prayer for my 9 to 5. Sing a little song, make a little love, and that's how we pray here at the Country Club. Here at the Country Club. So I said, how do you survive the hard times and make it look so easy? You're breaking your back just to cash a check, John, that barely keeps you breathing. He said, if you could see what I could see right now, I see a man who needs me. There ran a bottle on the wall that ain't seen it all, and that's why I believe. So raise a little glass, sip a little wine, say a little prayer for my 9 to 5. Sing a little song, make a little love, and that's how we pray here at the Country Club. Oh yeah, here at the Country Club.
Let me give him a little something over there.
Raise a little glass, sip a little wine, say a little prayer for my 9 to 5. Sing a little song, make a little love, and that's how we pray here at the Country Club. Say a little prayer for a 9 to 5. Sing a little song, make a little love, and that's how we pray here at the Country Club. Here at the Country Club.
One more time. All right. You do remember it.
Wow.
Outstanding. You used awesome. All three chords that you knew really well.
Oh, yeah. The E, the A, and then this one. Yeah. We did it.
Outstanding.
Wow.
He sandbags, though, with that three chord thing. He's got, trust me. I've seen this guy just, he knows more than he's putting on. I'll just put it that way.
I guess.
Three chords and the truth.
You can just you can slide this capo all the way up and down the neck and play the same three chords and make it sound totally different. So
that's awesome.
Cheat code.
Well, one of your songs, One of These Days, talks about enjoying the time with the ones you love. Just in general, just like you guys coming up here and giving us your time, turning me, like you, Ray, Matt, everyone, meeting you guys this past year has been more than I can even say out loud. Like what I'm going through, like a lot of things I'm going through personally, like you guys bring positive energy here to Damage, and it's awesome, guys.
Dude, thank you, man.
Yeah, it was outstanding.
We love doing this for good people, and you guys, you know, we've stayed in touch. We have a lot of mutual connections. We love being here. We're local. You know, you guys helped Matt out with a roadie for one of your shows.
Yeah.
One of your guys. So we're family, brother.
His name's also Matt. Matt O'Brien. That's shout funny. Out to him.
And let me give a shocker. Shout out to him. Without that guy was... My faith in humanity for the work ethic for the next generation happened with him. I was like,
he's solid. In fact, he works. Amazing. We do a thing here on Wednesdays. We don't do it in the summer, but it's called Hump Day Hang and Mustang Lounge.
Okay.
And it's all open mic. And he's one of the main guys. And he also hosts a show here Mondays at 11 called Classical Music with Matthew. So if you want to relax on a Monday around 11, tune in. All so it's and if his name's Matt, look, it means something. It's
something, man.
So. But yeah, 80%. All of us have kids. They're all growing up so fast. And that song, One of These Days, talk about the inspiration behind that.
One of These Days was, that was like the, when, not to keep going back to COVID, but that's when I wrote it. It was like, you know, I needed some kind of a release to be like, you know, we had, we had just come home. All my three kids, there's another family that lives about 2 miles down the street from us that we're really close with. Just two adult friends that we have. Our kids are about the same age. And nothing else was open. You couldn't really do much. So we ended up just bringing our kids over and our dog even and stayed over at their place for a night. Just That's camped awesome. Out, you know. They have a big basement, so all the kids like camped out, built forts. And I wrote the song like before we knew that night was happening. The lyric is, one of these days we'll wake up on the other side of town. It was looking forward to that night and all the days following that when you can go do that kind of a thing. Like not thinking a whole lot about it, just like packing your truck up and just driving, just going, just doing stuff and not needing a plan, not needing a mask, not needing, you know, all the required things just to go out and see people that you love. And so that was, you know, back in the day when that was the thing.
Right.
But that's where that came from.
But I know you got big shows coming out with Big and Rich, Chris Lane. You guys are the headliners in my eyes. You guys are, it's right there. Like I'm hoping 2024 and the end Thank of this you, year, you know, we'll be seeing you guys on the big screen, you know, and then them backing you guys up. So, that'd be great. So talk about what's left in the year for you both.
Gosh, I guess for me, I've got this show in New York. I've got, you know, a couple smaller little gigs this summer. And I've got another album in the works as we speak. And it's kind of, my buddy Pete, I've been, producing it over him who did my first album. We're kind of been, and some of the band that I'm in now has been, we've all been kind of collaborating a little bit on it. And the way that I wrote them, I wrote a lot of those in COVID as well. And thinking, I think there was like, they're going to be all right. And then now everybody's kind of put their fingerprints on it and it's starting to get some life. So we're still a little ways away. I mean, my goal is probably by the fall into the winter is probably what I'm shooting for. But I played a few of the songs live. We're going to play a few of them in New York tomorrow. And then we'll see how that does. I don't have a ready, fire, aim title yet, but
we could work on that.
Yeah. But no, this is my favorite time because when I need inspiration, I go to him for, listen, man, I'm writing too much of, you know, the world spinning and people are dying and, you know, like I need a hook. I need something to like right. tequila. I need Rum Summer. I need one of his like, gifted, you know, big pop songs.
I write what I know, man.
A little bourbon and coke. That sounds good.
Whiskey's the only thing that I love whiskey. I'm a bourbon guy. Yeah. It's the one song I wrote one song about it and have not revisited it since because I hated the way that the recording came out and I've been scared to write my whiskey song because I have such a high expectation of what it should be that
and I know this song and the song's already amazing if he would just let it out but he's
probably being, let it out right
he's
now
be, he's I being can't, perfectionist
no think, I can't so. Do that the song is called Dear Whiskey. It's literally of all the times that you've relied on whiskey to be the thing that helps you get through something, what is whiskey thinking about while it's sitting on the shelf and what does it want?
Yeah. In, is whiskey in return? Thinking yeah. of me during the Correct. Day?
Correct. That's exactly it.
Come here.
You know, so just, you know, you spend,
little
you spend enough
it.
Time.
Just play a little bit of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Woo.
Hang on. Let me see something. There it is. All right.
Dear whiskey, need some good advice. Something lost inside, can you help me find it? Dear whiskey, don't want to waste your time. There's a war inside my mind, can't stop the fighting. Dear whiskey, why do you taste so good? Every time I need you, you always tell the truth. Dear whiskey.
See if I remember the words.
Dear whiskey, don't talk all the time.
I forget the words. I don't want to do it.
Sorry. Dear whiskey, commencement is tomorrow.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Happy hours right around the corner.
And congrats to Matt.
Commencement.
Yeah. On the commencement.
Man, that was outstanding.
I forget it, man. I, See, these are like if you why I need lyrics, to get together with you to like, you know, be the inspiration to bring these songs back out.
Look, 50 years from now, when they put out a box set, that's going to be on there. Yeah.
Dear Whiskey.
Yep. Yeah.
I'd love to name like a project that. I just don't think that I have the...
Whiskey and Friends.
That's actually a great... Yeah. That'd be a great... Yeah. There is a song called Whiskey Friends that is on Morgan Wallen's new album.
Right.
So, yeah.
But, anyway.
There we go.
That was great.
I just gave a little taste of it. That's okay.
I love it, guys.
I haven't played that one in years.
I haven't heard it in years. That's why I was like, I think I remember it.
Yeah. This has been an amazing treat. You guys definitely got to come up again. That'd be great. Maybe just play some more live stuff.
Anytime, man.
Yeah, we love it. It's always a pleasure being here.
And best of luck tomorrow at your show and Saturday. And Matt.
Guys, always, thanks a million. Yeah. That was a blast. What guys, a treat for us.
Thanks, guys. Good luck on the commencement.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, guys. Yeah.
Be good.
I remember fans.
Big debut of the video up in the big
you
video
got
wall.
That right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, big day tomorrow. Watch out. Yeah, so Maverick fans, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkerRadio.com, where music and minds meet. Thanks, guys.
Completely damaged! Completely damaged!